Welcome to Talks from the Bible. This program is brought to you by the Church of Christ, located on South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia. We invite you to listen to Talks from the Bible at 6:55 a.m. Monday through Friday. Again at 7:45 a.m. on Saturday morning. And of course, this program on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. We also invite you to come and worship with us at the building located on South Commerce Street at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and then again at 11 o'clock each Sunday. We gather at these periods of time to engage in a study of the Bible and to worship and praise our Father which is in heaven. We thank you for listening to our program, and we pray that the things that are spoken this day will help you in your relationship with God. It is our desire to speak only that which the Bible speaks, and to present unto you only the truth of God. We invite you to note what is spoken, the scriptures that are used, and we ask that you confirm what we say by your own personal study of the Word of God. Hope is a confident expectation. Titus, the second chapter and the 13th verse says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." The Christian looks for a blessed hope. The Christian lives with an expectation of confidence that Jesus Christ is going to come and redeem all of those who have been saved through His blood. Hope is a faith in the unseen. We have not seen God. Our eyes have not looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ, neither have our ears heard Him speak. But with faith in our heart, we look to the unseen, and we believe in the existence of God, in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the inspiration of the Bible. These things are in the realm of the unseen. Hope is our faith in the unseen. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25 states, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." We wait for that which is unseen. We wait in confident expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our eternal redemption in heaven. This is our hope. This hope is our anchor of the soul. This hope is our motivating desire to serve Jesus and to live obediently unto the will of God. Jesus Christ is the ground of our hope. He is the foundation upon which our hope is built. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul wrote to the young evangelist and said, "Jesus Christ, who is our hope." In Colossians 1 and verse 27, Paul stated that Christ is our hope of glory. Jesus Christ is our hope of the eternal glory to come. We live the Christian life because of hope. We serve Christ and do the blessed will of God because of hope. Our faith is born because of our hope. Our faith endures because of our hope. And one day that hope will be realized when Jesus returns and we are taken home to live with God in heaven. We have as Christians the hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Paul said, "But let us who are of the day. And he is contrasting in 1 Thessalonians 5 those who are of the day and those who are of the night. He does not use these as terms for the natural world. He does not speak of day and night as we experience light and darkness, but rather he uses these terms in a spiritual sense. Those who are of the day live in service to God. Those who are of the night do not know God and live in service unto the devil. So Paul writes, "But let us who are of the day, those of us who are the servants of Christ, those of us who believe in the coming of Christ and in the resurrection of the dead," read carefully 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16 through verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The coming of Christ and the resurrection of the dead is our expectation. So let us who are of the day, who possess this hope, be sober. We are to be vigilant. We are to be mindful of that for which we look, the hope that is so vibrant in our life, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we enjoy the salvation from sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must continue to live in obedient faith unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We must continue to walk according to the commandments of God. We must abide by the will of God. And so we endure temptation. We endure affliction because we have the hope of salvation. God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the design nor the intent of God that we endure His wrath which will come upon the wicked, but rather that we obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ. This is a personal matter. Each of us must obtain the salvation that is in Christ. Christ has come into the world to be our Savior, but we must obtain the salvation which He offers. Salvation is the free gift of God, but we must accept that free gift by living obediently unto the commandments of God. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, again, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Notice that God has chosen us to salvation, but this salvation must be obtained. The apostle says that God has chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We must believe the truth that God has delivered unto us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as we embrace that truth in obedient faith, we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. We are set aside to serve God and glorify God. We are made fit, are prepared to serve the Lord God of heaven because of the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul writes to this young evangelist, pardon me, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Holy Scriptures of God have the power to make us wise unto salvation. The Holy Scriptures of God reveal the way of salvation. There is a manner in which we must obtain the salvation that God offers. There are steps of faith by which we must abide, which we must embrace, which we must believe, so that we are saved by the God of heaven and obtain the salvation that has come from him through the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 9, Peter says, receiving the end of your faith, pardon me, even the salvation of your soul. The end of our faith is the salvation of our soul. This is our expectation. This is our hope. We have the hope of salvation, but we also have the hope of righteousness. God is righteous, and he has sought through Christ to make us righteous. By the blood of Christ, we can be made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5 and verse 9, or verse 5 rather, says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We wait in confident expectation through the Spirit, with the help of the Spirit, with the aid of the Spirit, for the hope of righteousness by faith. We continue to believe. We continue to obey. We continue to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, waiting for the hope of righteousness. God has sought to make us righteous and to deliver us into the marvelous hope of righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the scripture says concerning God's act through Christ to make us righteous, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ came into the world. He lived in the world without sin. His life was a life of absolute perfection before God and in the presence of man. And yet God made him to take upon himself the sin of the world so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look at the act which God has performed. Look at the extent to which God has gone so that man might be made righteous. In the sinless life of Jesus Christ, as he bore our sin upon the cross, we can become the righteousness of God in him. Matthew 5 and verse 10 said that we are blessed of God when we are persecuted. Jesus is telling us how to live the blessed life. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, we have written by the Lord Jesus Christ that avenue of life by which we can live so that we will be happy and content. In Matthew 5 and verse 10, he said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The people of God are a persecuted people. Because of their living, obedient lives unto God in a world of darkness. As we walk in the light, whereas there is around us the darkness of evil and sin, we become persecuted. Jesus says that we are to endure that persecution. We are to accept the persecution of the world as a part of living the Christian life. Because we are the disciples of Jesus, we are going to be persecuted. And we are blessed when we are persecuted, not for having done evil, not for violating civil government, not for intruding upon the rights of others, but living for righteousness' sake. We are living according to the righteous standard of God. And because we endure that persecution because of this righteousness, ours is the kingdom of heaven, and we are blessed. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, writes to young Timothy. Paul is coming to the end of his earthly life. He is about to be offered at the hand of the Roman government. Paul has done nothing to violate civil authority. His only sin is, according to the world, that he has lived unto God. He has served him faithfully and done that which is pleasing and acceptable unto him. Paul talks about his life and how he has fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. In verse 8, with a confident expectation, he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul looked for the reception of a righteous crown. As he was about to die at the hands of the Roman government because of the gospel that he proclaimed and the Savior that he served, he was going to receive a crown of righteousness. We hope for the crown of righteousness. We live in righteous obedience unto God Almighty because we look forward to that crown of righteousness which we will receive at that great day of judgment. We also live in the expectation of the hope of eternal life. Titus 1 and verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Before the world began, in the infinite foreknowledge of God, Romans chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 1, God foresaw the fall of humanity. He foresaw the need of a Savior, and so he foreordained Jesus to be that Savior even before the world was created. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 22. God has determined that we will have eternal life. That eternal life is our hope. It motivates us to serve God. It inspires us to overcome. We're able to deal with difficulties in life. We are able to deal with the temptations of Satan. We are able to live faithfully unto God, regardless of the truth that the world about us is dark and evil and sinful, because we have the hope of eternal life. Titus 3 and verse 7, "That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We are justified, made just, by the grace of God. God is so gracious to man. Man has sinned. Man has fallen under the servitude of Satan. Man lives in a darkened world. And yet God, in loving grace, has offered man salvation. Not only has he offered man salvation through his grace, but in that gracious act of offering Christ upon the cross, he allows us to come unto him. He allows us to leave the realm of darkness and come into the light. His grace empowers us to break our servitude to the devil and become servants of God. We're justified, made right with God by his grace, so that we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are the heirs of God because of the hope of eternal life. We believe that we are going to live forever. We believe that the life which we now enjoy as the servants of God is going to continue throughout this world and even into the world to come. We believe because of this eternal life that we're going to be transitioned from this life into a spiritual life. We believe that we're going to cross over this world into another world where we will live and dwell with Almighty God even forever. John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus was going to give us an abundant life, a life that would exceed this world, a life that would go beyond this life. When we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we were conceived by the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, we began to live this eternal life. We were conceived into the eternal realm of God. Though we live in the flesh, though we still abide in this world, we have that eternal life, and we live in expectation of that life with God. John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Because of the love of God and the giving of his only begotten Son, we have the opportunity, the power, the right, the privilege to become heirs of everlasting life because of our faith. Our hope is in the eternal realm, where we long to serve God forever and forever. Our hope is in the hope of the resurrection. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts, and verse 6, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." They had called Paul in question of his preaching the resurrection from the dead. Paul states to them of the hope and the resurrection of the dead. Our hope is that the dead will be raised. In chapter 24 and verse 15, the apostle appears before this king of Rome, and he said, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Paul states that God is going to raise the dead. Not only are the just going to be raised from the dead, but the unjust are going to be raised from the dead. All that are in the graves, according to the word of Jesus in John chapter 5, are going to hear his voice and come forth from the grave. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the damnation. When Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11, concerning the sacrifice that he has made so that he might be a servant of Christ and a preacher of the gospel, he says that he lives in hope of the resurrection, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul wants to live so that he might be raised from the dead by the Lord Jesus Christ to this eternal life that will come because of his faith in God and his service to Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, the scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is going to come in all of the power of Almighty God. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. One day, at one hour in history, Jesus is going to return. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and those who have died in service to Him, who have lived obediently unto His cause, are going to be raised from the dead. The Christian lives with this confident expectation of the resurrection of the dead. But the Christian lives finally in hope of the glory of God. We are going to behold the magnificent glory of Almighty God. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 says that we are justified by faith. Titus 3, verse 7 says we're justified by the grace of God. Grace justifies, but we are also justified by our faith. We must believe in God's grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We live in hope of the revealed glory of Almighty God. One day our eyes will look upon Him. We will see Christ in all of His magnificence. We will see the glory of heaven in all of its greatness and beauty and wonder. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, a passage that we have already quoted, says that we are looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Imagine, if you will, the coming of Christ. Try to picture the glorious revelation of Jesus from heaven. The heavens will be opened, and Jesus will descend from heaven. There will be a great shout. There will be the trump of Almighty God. He will be surrounded in magnificence with His angels, and shall come forth to call humanity from the dead, where we will stand before what Jesus says in Matthew 25:31 is the throne of glory. Upon a magnificent throne Jesus will sit. Never before have our eyes beheld anything that is comparable to this throne upon which Jesus will sit and the glory with which He will come. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 10, Paul writes to those who are persecuted because of their faith, and said to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be admired in His saints, and glorified in all them that believe. Jesus Christ is coming, surrounded with His mighty angels, in flaming fire. He will come to take vengeance upon those that do not know Him, that have refused to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet be glorified in His saints and admired among all them who believe. This is our expectation. This is our hope. We have faith in the unseen, in the promise that God has made, that He has bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ the hope of salvation, the hope of righteousness, the hope of eternal life, the hope of the resurrection, and the hope of that glory that is coming when Jesus is revealed from heaven. Hope must be embraced by faith. We must believe in Jesus as the Savior. We must confess Jesus as the Son of God. We must repent of sin. We must be baptized, put on Christ in baptism. With these acts of faith, we embrace this hope, where we live our life in a confident expectation of the coming manifestation of God, of our eternal reward, because of the faith that we have and the life that we live in obedient service to Almighty God.